Someone asked me a good question this week, and the thing of it is, I had been tossing around in my mind about teaching on this subject anyway, because I've experienced it more than once here at the prayer center. A lot of people we wind up counseling and things, you know, and this subject comes up a lot. And so somebody again asked me this week, so I was asking the Holy Spirit about it, and He actually gave me a dream that helped me in my part. I think you'll recognize the title: How to Get Unstuck. Okay. All right. I think we've hit something alive here. Okay, how to get unstuck. And usually the conversation will go something like this. Look, I've been coming to the prayer center for a while, or even if you haven't physically been here, I've been doing the message for a while, and there was a period of time where even I could tell I was making progress. I mean, things were changing. I was coming up against impasses, and then I was getting past them, though, and I could tell that my, you know, times of hearing the Lord were better, and we were making progress. And again, if my eyes meet yours tonight, it's not for any reason. I just have to look somewhere, you know. Okay. But then there comes periods, you know. And see, and some of this is natural. You're going to hit quote dry spells. Even when you're doing exactly everything that the Lord told you to do. The easiest way to remember that is when Dave would talk about worship. You know, the Lord gave him that specific assignment so many hours a day. Well, you know, you get an assignment from the Lord, you start off, glory to God, full of gusto, you know, charge, and, you know, and you're ready to do it, and you set out, and everything's great, and boy, at first you feel the anointing and the blessing of God. Mm-hmm. Then day two comes, week two comes, month two comes, and all of a sudden, it's just, how does Dave say it, dry like cracker juice, you know. Mm-hmm. I love you, God. You know, it's cracker juice, you know. You know, it comes out flat as pancakes on the floor, you know. And so some of that's natural. Some of that you just got to press through, okay. But then there comes periods where, more like what we're talking about tonight, you can really get stuck. And after 6 months, after a year, after 2 years. I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. After, you know, you're not really, you're stuck. You're stuck, and you know you've been stuck, and at this point, you don't know what to do to get unstuck. I was already seeking the Lord a little bit about that, and then someone asked me the question that night. The Lord gave me a dream in my own life to help me understand. Oh, what do you mean, Gary? You're stuck? In areas, I'm stuck. Listen, I'll make you a deal. I won't ask you about where you're stuck. Okay, we deal or no deal? We got a deal or what? Okay. All right. Let me just share with you the dream first. Go ahead and open up to Mark 4. It had to do with Mark 4. This one wasn't a dream like a lot of them where you have, you know, visions and pictures where you have to interpret. It was more like the Lord just opened up this chapter to me. And in my dream, almost, like, I mean, I didn't see Him, but it was like a counseling session where He was just answering the question of my heart. Because what happens to you, you get really down on yourself. You know, if you've been stuck, and you've been stuck for a while, and then the devil starts chiming in. Well, yeah, I knew you was up. Okay, I got to be careful. The devil says, you knew you was no good. God knew you was no good. Guess what? Now you know you're no good. You're never going to do this. None of you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, okay. And I was kind of like that in certain areas. I'm not asking you about yours, so I'm not going to tell you about mine exactly. I will a little bit. I'm going to be pretty transparent with you. In this area, it's like He just sat on the edge of the bed, even though I'm asleep. But He's talking with me, and He opened up this to Mark 4, and He says, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. He said, this is easily fixed. He says, only thing that's happened to you is what I said in my word in Mark 4. And really, the one we find it exactly, it's verses 16 and 17. Well, really down through 19. Because it's all varying degrees. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. For tonight's teaching, if you will allow me, what I'm talking about, let's say it this way. The Holy Spirit gives you instructions from heaven. The Holy Spirit gives you instructions from heaven. When you spend time with the Lord, you're going to start, especially doing the message that's taught here at this church, you're going to begin to hear back from Him. And in that are going to be all kinds of things, but some of them are personal instructions. Things for you to do. I've told you many times, the first one, I mean, you'd never know it to look at me now, but the first one I ever received from the Lord, really as a personal instruction, was how to lose 40 pounds while I was driving the trucks. And I thought it was impossible because, you know, anyway, I don't want to go into a lot of detail. I've told that many times. But I went ahead and followed the instructions that He gave me. And sure enough, in just a few months, I lost 40 pounds. A few months after that, I had a major heart attack. I had a thing that come very close to taking me off the planet. And ever since, you know, just so you'll know, I'm trying to be transparent. I was smoking like a freight train in those days. I was driving the trucks. Truckers do three things. They drive, they eat, they smoke. That's what they do, okay? Okay? I'm smoking like a freight train. Now, religiously, I would think that the most important, the first instruction would be quit smoking. But the first instruction that came was lose 40 pounds. But He knew something I didn't know. The devil had a heart attack in my path. And I mean, I hit that thing and come within a breath of leaving the planet. And I've often wondered, would I still be here if my heart had been carrying another 40 pounds? You with me? Mm-hmm. You with me? So when He gives you instructions, it's personal and He means it. And He's got a reason. You don't always know that reason. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, so for the purpose of teaching here, where it says the sower sows the word, yes, but what I'm talking about, your instructions from heaven, your personal instructions that you get. Okay? It could be anything. Forgive Aunt Susie. It could be pray for your worst enemy. It could be stop being so stingy and give to the poor. It could be pray so many hours. Well, just like He gave Dave that instruction. Worship so many hours a day. I mean, more than once He's given me. By the way, the Lord is alive, you know. I mean, He'll give you instructions for a season, and then later He changes that because it's a different season. I've had instructions to pray a certain number of hours a day. And then, like coming up to a conference, many times He'll change that and have me pray a lot more every day, you know. But it's for a season. It's in preparation for things. So for the purpose of teaching tonight, where it says the sower sows the word, yes, but what I'm talking about is a personal instruction for you from heaven, let's say it this way, that the Holy Spirit brought to you from the mind of your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Something for you to do. Okay? And let's just read them all. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. If you'll look this same passage up over in Luke's account, you'll find out why. They didn't understand the word. They didn't get it clear. It says, when they don't understand it, then Satan just takes it away because you didn't get it. That's why sometimes you need to get those prophecy tapes, those ministry that come in a line. I don't know how many of them I've had to listen to and pray over before I finally got it. Oh. Now the Holy Spirit, if you ever write anything down I ever say, the Holy Spirit is smarter than you are dumb. If you'll trust Him, He will get it across to you. He will get it across to you. Say, bring it by me again, Lord, till you understand the instruction. He's smarter than you are dumb. He'll get it across to you. That gives me great comfort, by the way, to know that. He'll get it to me. I can trust Him. He'll get it to me. He knows. Okay. All right, now verse 16, though, this is the one where He said, this is you, Gary, and this is most people. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now stop for a minute. Man, normally when you get a word in the prayer line, I mean, one. Let's talk about one from Dave, okay? Where you genuinely believe it's God. Okay? All right? And usually, glory to God. I mean, it's usually like, you know, thou shalt this, and you art that, and, you know, thou shalt, and glory. You know, and if it's Abby, she's jumping all over the place. Hallelujah, you know. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah, you know. Now, if it's Alan, I must be a Canadian in my history somewhere. This is Alan and Gary doing what Abby does. You know, you've seen Abby, right? This This is me and Alan. Glory to God. And we're at the same level of joy, but with me it's this, you know. But it's a little more sedate. But you receive it with joy. And then if you go pray about that, you'll start getting instructions usually what to do. But look what it says here. I don't want to get ahead too much. And then verse 17, though, they have no root in themselves. And this is what he told me. He's right here. They endure but for a time. And this is what he told me. Sometimes it's a real long time. See, we tend to think that that's just, man, they didn't last very long, you know, just a week or two. Now, sometimes you can endure for 2 or 3 years. Okay? And that's where most of the people at the prayer center are. And we're going to look at the reasons why. Big part, we'll get to that. And he keeps telling me, go slow. I feel like there's so much to say. I'm trying to, you know. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, when they have gotten their instruction, they immediately receive it with gladness. That doesn't just have to be a word in a line. Most of my instructions for years, they don't come in a line anymore. I get them in my own prayer time. Okay, and you will too. I mean, if God sends you to Baghdad to pass out tracts or witness in Baghdad, you better hope to God you can hear Him without having to find Dave in a line. You understand what I, okay? You know, you got to develop the ability to hear Him yourself. It'd be the same though if He sends you to Tahlequah or anywhere else. You know, you got to hear Him for yourself. All right. So, but they have no root in themselves. And that part offended me. I'll be honest with you. It hurt my feelings. He says, well, the root can only go as deep as the soil will let it. Should I have an altar call right here? And the problem is never with the seed, the root. The problem's always with the soil. God's word is truth. There's never a problem with the root. The problem's always with the soil. That's why he says stony ground. Still love me? Again, there may be more teaching on this than we can get to tonight. Right now I hear those verses, you know, break up the fallow ground. You know, I could go look that up. How do you break it up? Well, they're doing the message, basically. You got to break up that fallow ground. Say, well, I endured for a while. I did for years, you know. They endure for a time afterward. Now, see, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. When we think of, how does it say it? Affliction or persecution. Persecution, usually we think of other people persecuting you for some reason, you know, like Islam or your unbelieving relatives or, you know, things like that. And you think of affliction as being trouble. And you usually think of he attacks you maybe with sickness or he attacks you with physical problems and stuff like that. But see, there's one area that we seldom think about. He assigns all these devils to hold back any sign of hope. Any sign at all of hope. And you know what the Bible says? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's why the just have to live by faith, not by sight. See, and you can do that for a while, but what he told me... Now, see, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, we got plenty of time. Yes. I keep wanting to jump into this next part. You're not near as much trouble as you think you are, by the way. You know, the devil just paints such an ugly picture of you in your own mind. Uh-huh. Come on, I need to come over and preach on this side right over here. The devil, he paints such an ugly picture of you. That also is designed to kill your hope. That also is designed, you know, and you get to thinking, man, I thought I was scum. Now I'm pretty sure I am, you know. You know? And really, the truth of the matter is, you're God's champion. You really are. He looks at this little motley crew here and he goes, this is my bunch right here. This is my core. This is my foundation. This is the ones I'm going to use to confound the wisdom of the wise, you know. You know? You're not in near as much trouble as you think you are. All of heaven is on your side, people. And he's just trying to give you a little insight tonight. It's going to blow some cobwebs off, I believe. Get the dust off. where you can pick yourself up again and go on to the next step. We're going to get unstuck. You hear me? You're going to get unstuck. All right. But he says, he was telling me, he says, they endure but for a time. And I've always seen that as being a very short time. Okay? But he says, no, that endurance can last for years. But then what? Okay. Yes, sir. Golly. Okay, I'm just getting the message too. What do you expect? Okay, I mean, you know, he's downloading it, and I just, you know, he's just started this Wednesday. Give me a break. Fortunately, I edit my own tapes, you know. This will sound great when it comes out. Well, Gary, he knows what he's talking about. Huh? I may leave that in. It'll encourage somebody. For the vast majority of for the vast majority, what happens is you become weary in well doing. Become weary in well doing. If we could see in the spirit realm the number of devils that are assigned, I mean, to keep any manifest, even the tiny, you know, even Elijah had to see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. I mean, the devil doesn't want you to even see that cloud. I mean, he has got assignments. And, you know, when time goes by and you do it, I mean, you're faithful for... And listen, I don't know anybody that's 100% faithful, but let's just say reasonably faithful, okay? And you're doing what you know to do. It may be years. But you keep looking for that little cloud the size of a man's hand, and you don't even see that. You start getting weary in well-doing. I mean, the enemy's, he's there shouting at you all the time, this isn't working, nothing's going to ever come of it. Why don't you go back to the first church where at least they told you was okay? You know, why don't you, you know, they got, if you got kids, you know, they'll tell you what, hey, they got all kinds of things for your kids and all this, you know. And you become weary in well-doing. He said, don't be so hard on yourself. This is not news. This was another thing he said. This is not news to me. This is as old as my word. I've had it in here the whole time. You know, he says the thing of it is, you don't have to stay stony ground. See, and stony can be stony in one person. You know, one person can. I mean, you might stack yourself up maybe with somebody else all the time. You know, looking at somebody else. All right, and you say, man, if I could just be like them. Trouble is, their root has only gone down so far too. Now, true, they may be walking in more than you. But they may have been stuck for the last 5 years and you just don't know it. They may have been stuck right there for the last 5, 10, 15 years. And that's as far as they can go until those stones are dealt with. It's always with the ground. The good news is about that is that's us and we can change us. We can do things about us. All right. Why are you stuck? He gave me four things here. Pretty well applies. One or more of these will apply. Number one, there's no point asking the Lord about step two until you have obeyed step one. All right? I'm going to go ahead and read them, then we'll come back and talk about them, okay? Number two, have you become weary in well-doing? Is it just simply a matter of going back to what you used to do? Well, I used to pray and hear God. I'm not hearing God now. Are you still spending time in prayer? That it could be just that simple. All right, number three. Many endure for a time, but eventually just wear out. And the main reason there, first he told me, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We've talked about that a little bit. But he said, really, it's really worse than that. You stop believing. Dave said to me one time, nobody ever leaves the prayer. Now, we're not talking about people that's got a ministry and they're moving to do what God called them to do. We're talking about those that leave disillusioned. Would that be okay? Yes. Dave said one time, nobody ever leaves like that that still believes revival's coming. The vision has died in them. Well, your part in it can die. That's what he's saying. You just don't believe anymore. Why aren't you praying? I just don't. The devil won. He, in the sense of he convinced you for a season. Yeah. We're going to talk about ways to change that in a minute. Hallelujah. The fourth one, after you've obeyed God in any realm for a long time, and I'm talking about things like prayer, fasting, shutting off the TV, working in the, you know, being in the Word, anything you do that deprives the flesh, and I'm going to, here's my definition of flesh, not only this fallen body, but every unrenewed part of the soul. That's the flesh. It's the physical flesh with the appetites and lusts, but it's also every part of the soul that's not yet been renewed to the mind of Christ. Here's what it is. Number four, after a while, the soul demands, quote, payment. Now, it's real easy for anyone that's ever fasted. I don't care if it's a four-hour fast. If you do any fasting at all, how many times has Tim told me? He says, Gary, the most dangerous part of a fast is right after you come off of it. Yeah. It's right after you come off of it because your flesh goes crazy. It goes, starve me for 30 days, 40 days, 7 days, whatever it was. I'm telling you, we're going to hit every drive-thru on 71st. First, it's Burger King. Right after that is McDonald's. And right after that is Oriental food. And right after, we're going to hit them all, buddy. You hear me? The soul demands payment. You treat me like that, I'll body slam you so hard you'll never want to fast me again. But see, the same thing happens with your soul after a while. You fast your soul from the things of this world, pleasure, you know, TV and movies and all the things that can't, you know, anything. It's different stuff with different people, you know. But you go for a long period of time, and the enemy's working on all of your emotions anyway, and you're looking for that little cloud the size of a man's fist, and you're not seeing that even. Eventually, your soul is going to start demanding payback. And you start finding yourself watching TV that you never thought you'd ever watch again. It's usually little by little by little. See, I started off watching I really like CSI. Then they came out with CSI Miami. Oh, I like that one too. Then they come out with CSI New York. I'm pretty sure this year they're going to have CSI Tulsa. I don't know what they're going to have, you know. CSI Albuquerque. I don't know, as long as it's working for them, they're just going to keep doing it, you know. You see what I'm saying? Pretty soon, you know, you're watching more TV a week than you're praying a week. That's not good for a prayer center person. That's just not good. We should be more in prayer than we're watching TV, for crying out loud. Well, see, I knew I was scum. No, you're not. You're His warrior. You're His champion. God has all of eternity in your hands. I don't know if you know that or not. Jesus is not on the planet except in us. And He is depending on us. He has faith in us. Say it out loud. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to make it. Say it to me, Fred. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Amen. I'm going to make it. You too. Hallelujah. Your flesh, the soul, though, demands payment. And the last thing, I should have wrote this on here. Humans tend to be creatures of habit. I'm going to write that on. I don't want to forget that. Creatures of habit. All right. How do you get unstuck? That's the four things that five counting. You know, we become creatures of habit. It's just real easy to fall into a rut. You know what a rut is? You know, heard that old definition of a rut? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. See, you can go all the way around. It's a grave with both ends kicked out. So a rut, you could just stay in it and go all the way around the whole planet over and over and over again, but you're still in just the rut. Still doing the same things over and over. How do you get unstuck? All right, number one, you ready? Obedience. Go back to your instructions. Well, how did this start off? The sower soweth the word. Let's say it for tonight's teaching this way. You received instructions from heaven. All right? Now, there is no point asking the Lord about step two until you've obeyed step one. So go back over your instructions. And this is why we say all the time, you need to have some way, hopefully by now, in writing, the prophecies that have been spoken over you, the words that have been spoken over you, or the things that you've heard in your own prayer closet. And if you don't, start. And if you have no way of going back and capturing those, ask the Holy Spirit to bring them to you again. He will. He hasn't forgot any of them. Okay? Give him a little credit. His job is to get you into the fullness of your calling. Say, well, I don't have them. I don't know where the tapes, you know, I wouldn't know how to begin. Well, ask him to help you begin. But this time, I don't care how it comes, when you know it's God, now be diligent now to capture it, is what I'm saying. I had to pull those trucks over even in the early days, and at the very next place where I could, you know, it's just really hard to write when you're driving a 80,000 pound rig down the road, you know. So got to start talking. I didn't have any recording or device or anything in the early days. All I had was a spiral notebook. So, boy, the very next opportunity, I'm pulling off, and I'd write it down. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if God, the one who created the universe, if he's going to be good enough to come and talk to me, I should at least give him enough respect to write it down. You know? So start, okay? We're talking about getting unstuck. If you have them in writing, get them out. Now, for example, here's mine. Here's some of them. Y'all know about the face-to-face things that we talk about all the time. These are all at the website. Well, I've gone through them a long time ago, way back in 98. And I went through teaching by teaching by teaching through there. There's a lot of personal instructions for Gary Carpenter in those things. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, so I can go through here and I can look at it and I can see whether I got a passing grade or a failing grade. One of the things I'm supposed to do is come to the place where I trust the Holy Spirit completely. What do y'all think? You think I've passed that? I'm getting better. Hallelujah. I love her. Preach over here, sister. Preach over here. We got an edification thing going here. That's an area where I've still got to learn. Not doing the message causes you not even to hear him. I mean, you know, the same way that you learn to open that door of communication, you can slowly close that door of communication. Just quit spending time with the Holy Ghost. Quit praying. I give myself a C on that one, okay? I trust him more than I did when we first started coming, I'll tell you that. I've trusted him enough to do things that look like certain disaster, okay? But to say I completely trust him, no, I'm somewhere in the progress of that. All right? Now, I was looking through here. It says, I am to train others how to follow the Holy Spirit. If you'll go to my website, you're going to see series after series after series that I have taught that all, not only here, but in Poland and Africa and Korea. One of them is called Instructions from Heaven. Another one's called How to Follow Jesus. Another one's called Hearing God's Voice. On and on and on. I have done my best to do that. Now, here's another one. My instructions to me, feed his sheep without price and lead his lambs without cost. I give myself an A. Glory to God. I did that one. See, I gave myself an A. You know, I did that. This next one, I'm a 100% failure because he told me to spend time specifically seeking the mind of Christ to cause wealth transfer from the world into the kingdom of God. I have yet to ever come up with my first instruction there because I haven't spent enough time specifically seeking him in that area. I give myself an F. Is there any point in me talking with him at this point? God, now teach me how to steward multi-millions of dollars. He says, you haven't yet learned how to obtain the millions of dollars. I told you to seek me how to cause that transfer. See, there's no point in me talking to him about step two. This is all I'm saying until I obey step one. So I've got to go back here now on this one. What else can you do? You know, if God told me to go to, and I mean, I'm a truck driver, I've been to LA so many times and so many different routes. I can get you there umpteen different ways, okay? But now if my dispatcher says, all right, we want you to go to L.A. by way of Oklahoma City, and I go, I've been to L.A. how many times? I'm not going that way. I'm going right out west through the Panhandle and going out through New Mexico. So I get to New Mexico and I'm about out of gas, you know, or diesel. About out of diesel. And I call my dispatcher and I say, hey, I'm on my way to L.A. like you told me, but I'm out of diesel. Where do I get diesel here? He said, where are you? I'm in New Mexico. What part of New Mexico? Did you go to Oklahoma City? No, I didn't go to Oklahoma City. He said, do you know we have a terminal in Oklahoma City where you're supposed to refuel? There's a reason why I told you to go through Oklahoma City. I told you to go to L.A. by my plan. And you're trying to go by your plan. But my provision is on my plan. Now, he might bail me out, send me, you know, wire me enough money to get diesel. But I better get back on the original path because they've got it set up all along there. Different fuel stops in different places. Things that I'm going to need along the way. That is exactly the way God operates. When he gives you a plan, he says, do it this way. He's got a reason for doing it that way. I use this illustration all the time because it really happened to a friend of mine. A friend of mine was unemployed. And he was praying. This was years ago. He was praying, asking the Lord what to do. But every time he'd pray, he got hungry for waffles. He couldn't figure that out. Now, he hadn't heard the whole message like we know it here, okay? But he'd say, Lord, I need a job. Man, I got a wife and family to take care of. Lord, what do you want me to do? As soon as he'd pray that, or just very quickly, he'd get this urge to go to Waffles, and he lives close to the Waffle House. You know, I'll tell you which one. It's the one over there at 51st and Peoria. You know, he lived close to there. Waffles. And he'd pray again. He said, Lord, I'm unemployed. I don't need to be spending money. And, you know, he'd pray. His hunger for waffles. You could almost smell waffles. Long story short, he finally obeys God. He goes down to the Waffle House. The place is packed. There's only one empty, I mean, there's one spot, and there's, you know, it's one of those booths. And somebody's sitting in one side, but there's nobody sitting on the other side. So he goes and asks him, could I share this booth with you? Long story short, that was his next job. That guy. Hallelujah. That guy hired him.
Hallelujah.
They got to talking, and that was the guy that hired him into his next job. See, his leading. There's no point talking to him about step two till you obey step one. If God says go to the Waffle House, he's got a reason for sending you to the Waffle House. Let's go on with a couple. I'm trying to be transparent with you. So you see how I've obeyed some and I've disobeyed some? All right? Oh, let's see. Here's one of my bigger failures. In the one called Marking the Trail, you can look at these later. Instruction for me, and I think this one would be a good instruction for you. When you start planning, of course, most people don't plan their time anyway. But let's put it this way. Put the highest priority on the instructions from the Holy Spirit. He intends to set your course like a compass. He has a direction for your life. Okay? All right? Now, I'm going to clarify that for you a little bit. I am my father's son, and I tend to be, I have to watch this all the time. I am a real worker. And bless God, nobody else can get it done. I will get it done. You hear me? And my motto as growing up was that when it's too tough for everybody else, it's just right for you. There's no such thing as can't, boy. Might be can't hardly. But it may be hard. But you can do it. You hear me? You can do it. Don't you tell me no can't. So I have to watch it. I have tendencies when there's a lot of stuff to do. Okay, I'll get this done and I'll still pray. No, and what happens then is I get consumed on the project. Besides that, it feeds my feeling of self-accomplishment. I am doing something for God, you know. Yes, I'm doing one of those right now, and I know I'm in some realm of disobedience. I'm telling tales now, you know. But the other part of it is God, you know, I've already into this project, and I kind of knew in my spirit I wasn't supposed to do it, but I'm into it now, and another thing that God likes is a man that swears to his own hurt and changes not. So now I have to finish this project and just repent all over myself to God, okay? And say, I'm sorry. But see, I tend to do that. I tend to get into the working. Okay, let's say it this way. I tend to get into what Gary can do.
Yes.
Instead of spending the time with the Holy Spirit so God gets to do what only He can do.
Amen.
See, and for this church, that's not going to fly. That is not going to fly for revival.
No.
He's got to purge us all from that. So I'm trying to be, am I being transparent enough? Y'all recognize anything here? Okay. All right. So let me, okay, we're going to run out of time, seriously. So let me go. I could go on and on. And this whole thing, probably a D. Gary, I'd give Gary a D. Okay. And still yet, I'm his champion. Still yet, I'm more than a conqueror. He hadn't given up on me. He's wanting me to break up the fallow ground. Anyway, so what? Okay, let's get, all right. Number one is obedience. Go back to your instructions. Where have you been disobedient? Well, I can look real quick here. But it's hard if you don't have those instructions in writing or in some way written down. But I'll tell you this, in your own heart, if you just spend 5 minutes with the Holy Ghost, it won't even take that long. Lord, what is the number one area of my disobedience? I'm telling you, it won't even take 60 seconds. He'll bring it right up in front of your face. You'll know it. Could be prayer, could be the Word, could be TV, could be, you know, could be what?
Computers.
Could be computers. We don't know anybody that would affect. and me too. And not playing. I don't have any games. I don't have no games on my computer at all. It's just work. You know, I mean, things that I do, you know. Number two, step one is obedience. So that's all, those are three parts to that. Obedience. Part of that, how do you do that? Well, go back over your instructions. Where have you been disobedient? Where you have? That brings up step two. Repentance. First off, repent for the sin of weariness and unbelief. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. It's okay. The blood will wash it away. Say, Lord, I got weary in well-doing. Let's just do it. You may not need this. Probably someone next to you does. Let's pray that. Let's just get this over right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent. I confess my sins before you. Specifically, for becoming weary in well-doing. And Father, because I didn't see much results, I didn't see the cloud the size of a man's hand, I got weary in well-doing. And eventually, Lord, that even went into unbelief. I didn't believe it was working anymore. That's over. I repent. I confess it before you. Forgive me, Father. And I'm trusting in the blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've done one of them right now, okay? Now, number three, here's another thing you can do. Start again feeding your spirit until it becomes stronger than your soul and your flesh again. Like what, Gary? How about Jude, all the way back to the foundation, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Well, Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now here's the wonderful thing. It amazes me. I don't need to reteach this. If you guys can teach this. But God made it so simple for us. When you're beat down and you've been stuck for a long time and you feel bad about yourself and you know, there's nothing in you that really wants to do much anymore, the simplest thing you can do. How simple could God make it? Your mind, you can even start while you're watching the TV. I know religion hates that. But it's the truth anyhow. You can be watching a football game and I'm telling you, you can start edifying yourself. Even under your breath. Dave said one time, somebody asked, well, could I pay my teenage kids to do it or my kids to do it? Would it work? Yes, it'll work. Because even if their motivations are wrong when they start, as long as they're they may be doing it for the $5 an hour or whatever it is you told them. But what will happen is the Holy Spirit, as they pray, He will change the motivations of their heart. Amen. And it'll still work.
Hallelujah.
So God made it really simple for us. I mean, if you can't get in the Word again, if you can't shut, I just can't shut the TV off. It's CSI. Don't you understand? It's CSI. Right? You've been watching it anyway. Just watch it and start praying.
Amen.
You've been watching it anyhow. If you can't stop, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Pray in tongues. Your soul doesn't even have to be involved. Your soul doesn't have to be involved in it. But your spirit cannot help but be involved. Hallelujah. So, number one, pray in tongues. Number two, and we're talking about the kind of praying in the beginning, not where you get off by yourself. That's harder. That's better if you can do it. But I'm talking about it just depends on how weary are you. If you can't do it any other way, just get that mouth a going while you're doing all that other stuff you've been doing. And still yet, it will build you up on your most holy faith. Your spirit, man, will become edified. You'll start getting stronger. One day you'll come in, I ain't watching no CSI. I can go talk to God. Glory to God. I ain't watching no CSI or whatever it is. I'm, you know. Hallelujah. Okay? Another one. Another way to. We're talking about feeding your spirit. As you can, get in the Word. Get in the Word for yourself. Now, tapes are good. I obviously believe tapes. Dinosaurs. The messages are good. Why else would we do what we do, okay? The messages are good. MP3, I don't care how you listen to it. But I'm not really talking about that. The reference, if you want to write it down, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, we're going back to the foundation, see? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We have a new baby in the house, in the Hanson house. You know, we got this little 2-week-old little girl that's more precious to me than my life. And, you know, I can't hardly wait to feed that kid ribs and corn on the cob. You know, I just can't hardly wait, you know. But right now, what does she need? Milk. And there's all kinds of good food in the house, see. But she needs the sincere milk that she can grow thereby. Listen, if you've been starved for a long... Yes, sir, I'll say it. Eating off of Dave's tree will only carry you so far.
Yes.
That's good. That's eating off of Dave's or whoever. Eating off of Tim's tree. Eating off of my tree. Eating off... That will only carry you so far. You need the sincere milk of the Word yourself. I got a real spanking from God. He said... Of course, now I justified myself because I had the Bible on computer. Because the question was, when's the last time you brought your Bible in from the car? Lord, I use the computer to prepare my lessons. Yeah, you used to sit and read it for hours when you'd bring it in. Mm. Guess who's bringing their Bible in now?
Uh-huh.
Okay? You with me? There's no substitute for you feeding the Word of God yourself. You yourself come to the breast. Drink the milk. Let the Holy Ghost digest it and process it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got pray in tongues, get in the Word. Now this one's all through the face to face. This is another one where I give myself about a D on it. Okay? D+. Be nice to me. Most people would call it practicing the presence of God. The way he kept saying it to me is the Holy Spirit would say, you, Gary, become aware of my presence. You start becoming aware that I'm with you. Now, he's in us. Don't write me no letters. I know that. But he's trying to get me aware so that my mind is always on all things are possible.
Amen.
He says, when you go to the restaurant, be aware that I am with you. Be listening. I may want you to go pay for somebody's meal and tell them Jesus loves them. I may want you to go witness. I may want you to pray for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in everything you do, the whole day, your number one assignment, the most important thing for you, Gary, and I think this may apply to you, become aware of my presence. Become aware that I am with you. So you could call it practicing the presence of God. One of the things he told me to do in that, which I've talked to you about before, is talk to him all day long as though he's really with you. Come here, Bernard. Follow me around. What if Bernard was the Holy Ghost? And I mean, he's with me whether I'm aware of him or not, right? But all day long, here we go, it's a whole day. I've got a lot of stuff for Gary to do. Let's see, I'm going to do my computer work, and let's see, I'm going to talk to so-and-so in South Africa by Skype, and I'm going to do this and that, and okay, I got to call Tim, and I got to do this and that. Oh, then we're going to go over here, and we're going to do this. I've got to go mow the lawn. Holy Spirit's with me, you know, and all day long. And I go, hey, Daisy, you know, how you doing? And I see Daisy over here, you know, and Holy Spirit's with me. And I walk by, that, you know, all these sick people, and I don't even once, all day long, even acknowledge His presence. And that's the Holy Spirit's life with most of us. Isn't it? Thank you. He says lack of, you can read these are all in the face-to-face thing. Lack of awareness produces lack of faith. Lack of awareness, you're not even, yeah, you don't even think about Him being there. So, maybe the Lord wants to do something. What do you say, Holy Spirit? You may not want to be quite that friendly. I'm trying to convey pictures. You might, though. The analogy is this. See, where can you go without your blood going with you? It's with you all the time, whether you think about it or not. Aren't you glad it's there? Aren't you glad it's working? You know. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is always with us, and He's always available there to be working. But in this case, it requires us remembering that and acknowledging Him, and that creates faith through that very awareness that, hey, He is with you. I know He's in you and on you and all that, but He's with us. And He is the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, He's not only the doer, you know what I mean? He's the molecule changer. But He's also the same one that brings you the mind of Christ. So he tells you, this is what Jesus wants you to have me do. Tell me to do this. It's kind of like that, you know. And you don't really, you know, command the Holy Spirit, you know, like, but you say, oh, He wants that. He wants to open those blind eyes. There's previews. Blind eyes? What am I supposed to say? Oh, okay. See! In Jesus' name. He not only does it, He tells you what to do.
Yeah.
That's why there's constant awareness that the Holy Spirit is with us. Okay. That's enough for tonight, okay? No, yes, it is. Listen. Number one, get over yourself. Quit being so hard on yourself. The enemy's telling you that you've been stuck for so long that you've been set aside on the trash heap now, and no bigger lie from hell ever came forward. You are God's champion. You are God's hope in the earth. He has everything hinging on His people believing Him. I mean, if Jesus, He could have stayed, you know, in His resurrected body. He could have set up shop in Jerusalem somewhere if He's going to do it all through His own glorified body. That's not God's ways. We've been teaching about God's ways. He intends to do this through man. We are the body of Christ. We are His hope in the earth. He believes we're going to get this. You're going to, so quit being so hard on yourself. Just go back to the last thing He said and pick it up from there. And if, you know, anyway, and if you get really discouraged, get this message out and listen to it again. You are His hope in the earth. His future for you is bright. I like to say it this way. He tells me this all the time. You see it all over my website. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. And I like what He said last Sunday. We don't even know what fun is yet. We're about to find out what real fun is. A day with Jesus. Hallelujah. A day with Jesus. All right. We better close. Yes, sir. Here's a lie. He wants to intercept a lie. Because some of you have disobeyed. Some of you are in New Mexico when He told you to go to Oklahoma City. So the lie is, okay, you've messed it up now, and there's no hope. Would that be the case with my dispatcher? If I'm driving $1 million worth of their trucks, and I'm valuable to the company, and I messed up, but now I'm in New Mexico, and I need to be in Oklahoma City. And I'm out of money. I'm out of resources. Now, I guess they could fire me. Okay. But Jesus isn't about to do that. Even my dispatcher, you know what He would have done? Okay, we're going to wire you some money. We have the route for you. Here's enough. Fuel up the trucks. Get yourself. We're in church. Get yourself to Oklahoma City. Get back to where I told you, and we're going to go from there. See, that's the role of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're 190,000 miles off of God's path. The moment you begin praying in other tongues, His job is to direct your feet right back to the path of God for your individual life. So don't you be letting the devil tell you that you've gotten it off so far that you can't. I heard him just, he just interrupted. Says, now people need to hear that. He'll get you to Oklahoma City. You understand what I mean when I say that? He'll get you back on the path. Hallelujah. He is smarter than we are dumb. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. This is help for somebody. Probably Gary. You have to allow him sometimes to do radical surgery. Fasting anything is not pleasant that the flesh enjoys. I remember the time he just reminded me. Sometimes you got to do something drastic for a season to change patterns. He reminded me of the time. My whole life I'm a carnivore. I'm the guy that likes my favorite meal is a T-bone steak smothered in pork chops. Okay, with a big glob of white mashed potatoes and cream gravy. And then Sue would always put 3 green beans on my plate. Of course, I never would finish all those green beans, you know. Too many green beans. 3, I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm not... So now for a season... This is good. I'm telling you, that's awfully close to the truth. I'm making it funny, but that's not far off from the way it was. So several years ago, the Lord put me on a 40-day... one of my instructions, 40 days without meat. Oh, the suffering Jesus. Oh, the agony. 40, and he says, oh, and all that other stuff you substitute, like eggs, cheese, things that kind of you can use to substitute. I'm getting some nods. People know what I'm talking about back here. Oh, God, that was the longest 40 days of my life. I thought I was going to perish, you know. I did everything in the world to obey that instruction and cheat at the same time. Okay, I got to eat veggies. Let's go get onion rings. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you know. Okay. And then there was this place that had fried zucchini. Hallelujah. I loved it, you know. Breaded and fried. But I did. I did pretty well. I mean, you know, most of the time I was eating the salads and I ate the broccoli and I ate the cauliflower. I hated every minute of it. It was horrible. I couldn't wait for that 40 days to be over, you know. Man, I was watching the clock almost, you know, it's going to get to midnight. I got a hamburger waiting right over there, you know. 40 days was up and I went right back to eating like I usually do, but it was funny. After a few days, I came to Sue. This really happened. I came up to Sue and I said, honey, would you mind fixing me one of those broccoli casseroles? Uh-huh. She went, she did exactly this. Who are you and what did you do with my husband? For benefit of the tape, I'm making like a cross, you know, like, you know, you're an imposter. You can't be Gary. He did something that 40 days... God changed my rut.
Hallelujah.
A whole lifetime of rut. It changed it. And to this day,
hallelujah.
I like salads now, and I like vegetables, and I like cauliflower, and I like those things. It, you know, and I still like meat and everything, but it's not, I eat way more veggies and fruits and things than I used to. So he had to do radical, what I'm saying is sometimes he has to do radical surgery, even if it's just for a season. I remember Kenneth Copeland years ago, he was a newspaper holic. Every day, had to read the newspaper, and it was a big one wherever they were living. It took hours, and so the Lord told him, or he just decided, I don't remember which, it's been too long. Was it a 2-week? He's going to fast the paper for 2 weeks, and that was decades ago, and he's never read another one all the way through since. Sometimes radical surgery for a season is required. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. But then you got to watch payment. You got to watch payback. The flesh wants payback. Okay. All right. I asked Tim, this was sometime a few months ago. I don't remember exactly when. I had lost some sheets that he gave out at one of the conferences where you can keep track of how you're using your time on a 24-hour basis. And I felt, because I knew that I had slipped away from what I should be doing. You know, I was spending too much time watching TV and doing some things. So I said, Tim, I've lost those. Could you send them to me? So I got them again. And Tim just, and, you know, he just says, well, yeah, and I'd be interested in seeing the results, you know, after you do that for a little while. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a man of God. I could show him my time schedule, you know. I printed those out and I meticulously, I'm pretty good at records, I meticulously filled that thing out for about 4 days. Run into Tim somewhere. He says, well, how's that coming, you know? I said, well, first off, you are never getting a copy of it. Oh, my God, I can't believe how I've backslidden in my time. I couldn't believe it. I said, you are never getting a copy of this. I'm burning them all. I'm tearing them to shredder. All of them. Because I was amazed. I compare my life as it was at that time and how it was a few years before. When I was doing the message more. Y'all still love me? I'm trying to be honest with you, you know. But you've got to get unstuck. You know, just whining about that and feeling bad about it, what good's that going to do? You've got to go back. I see right, even tonight as I'm going back over this, I'm going, I am going to schedule time on purpose, that one thing about seeking Him for wealth transfer. He's not ever, if I get to heaven, I'm going to have to give account for that. And I'm years behind. I know I'm years behind. Now, that's not going to happen unless I do something on purpose to make it happen. Yeah. I have, what I'm not talking about the wealth transfer. I'm talking about what He said. Seek Him. Seek Him for instructions, precise instructions, how to do it. All I can schedule is the seeking time. But in that, I know He'll get it across to me. But if I don't ever, if I just let it go thinking He's going to forget about it, He's not going to forget about that. And Tim's really hoping that I learn how to do it because the finances will come in. Tim, always remember this, Tim plus money equals ministry. Got that? Anyway. So he was just showing me, you might want to, you know, you don't need some fancy form. You can just get a spiral notebook and draw a column. You know, start, you know, whatever hours you're up in the day, you know, whatever your normal thing is, maybe 6 till 11 at night, whatever it is for you. Start, it'll scare you sometimes. How little your time is really being used for the kingdom of God, you know. Hallelujah. Okay. This tape is never going out. Yes, it will. Because it'll help people. See, that's the thing. It'll help people, you know. We're all, and that's why you quit being so hard on yourself. Okay? We're all in some measure of being transformed here. Everybody's struggling with different things. Get over yourself and just get back to doing what you know to do, see. But that may require radical surgery. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll obey. Turn to somebody and say, my prayer life is perfect.
My prayer life is perfect.
You didn't lie. You've never disobeyed Him. You didn't lie. If the blood is real and He washes us, cleaner than, whiter than snow. You've never failed. Tell somebody else, my fasting life is perfect. This is what destroyed the devil. He has no ammunition. He has no evidence. The blood washes it all away. The accuser of the brethren, he has nothing to accuse you. It's true. Tomorrow, once you go to the blood, then it's no longer just a new day. It is a first day.
Amen.
I have perfectly. Let's say it again. See? Therefore I say,
because of the blood,
what Jesus did for me,
according to my record in heaven,
I have never failed God.
At this moment,
I have perfectly obeyed God
regarding my prayer life.
Regarding my fasting life.
Regarding my meditation of the Word.
My worship
is
perfect.
Whatever it takes to get it across to us.
He is for you.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us.
Not only does He forgive us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Glory to God.